Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, you're listening to On Israel in Al Monitor. I'm Ben Kaspit from Tel Aviv. 2 weeks ago, I reported in the Israeli newspaper Maariv that former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was negotiating a plea deal with Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit to end his corruption trial. The report stirred up a huge storm, and its shockwaves continue to rock the political and public arenas. The right and the left are in rare agreement. Both Netanyahu's harshest critics and his strongest supporters are vehemently opposed to a deal. The right is demanding that Netanyahu keep fighting to clear his name and prove what he and they have been saying all along, that the prosecution rigged the cases against him. They are demanding that they fight to the bitter end, apparently not caring that the end could see him convicted of bribery and land him behind bars. His opponents are even angrier. According to leaked reports about the negotiations, the charges against Netanyahu would be reduced, his jail time would be commuted to community service, and it's unclear whether he would be barred from politics for years, as the Attorney General is demanding. His opponents, too, want this try to continue and prove that in Israel, everyone is equal under the law. As we record this podcast, contacts between the sides appear stalled. Most people don't think the deal will be inked before Mandelblit leaves office at the end of this month. And if and when such a deal is finalized, it will happen on the watch of Mandelblit's successor, who is yet to be chosen. Nonetheless, Mandelblit has drawn up the general outlines of a deal. It includes Netanyahu admitting to two fraud and breach of trust charges, the prosecution dropping the bribery charge against him and dismissing additional charge of a fraud and breach of trust stemming from alleged collusion by Netanyahu and a leading newspaper publisher. Netanyahu would get a 7 to 9 month suspended sentence, which he will serve doing community service. He will also pay a fine and will be banned from politics for 7 years. The top echelons of the prosecution believe this compromise is in the public's best interest, because a trial could drag up for several more years, and meanwhile, it's tearing apart Israeli society. Today's On Israel guest served for 12 years as a state prosecutor of financial and tax crimes. He led highly publicized prosecutions, for example, against tycoon Nochi Dankner, who was convicted of securities fraud and sentenced to 3 years in jail. These days, he is a leading partner in S. Horowitz & Co. private practice, defending those accused of white-collar crime. He also chairs the Tel Aviv District Bar Association. Attorney Amit Becher joins us right after this short break.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hagedorn, and I'm the State Department correspondent at El Monitor.
And I'm Joe Snell. I'm El Monitor's video editor. Let's admit it, this past year has been difficult to stay on top of the news and sift through what's accurate and what's misleading. Let Al Monitor help you.
If you care about the Middle East and North Africa, you should consider listening to Al Monitor's audio series On the Middle East with Andrew Parasoliti and Amber and Zaman, and On Israel with Ben Kaspi. You can now watch our newest video podcast, Reading the Middle East with Gilles Kapel. You can subscribe to these series on your favorite podcast platforms.
And through a host of free daily and weekly newsletters, we offer a range of perspectives with the highest journalistic standards. You can subscribe to these newsletters at almonitor.com.
As an award-winning media service headquartered in Washington, D.C., Al Monitor has a network of over 160 contributors around the world.
So if you haven't done so already, be sure to visit almonitor.com, where you can find all of these newsletters and podcasts, along with first-class reporting and analysis.
Now, I am very happy to welcome to On Israel in Al Monitor a friend and colleague, attorney Amit Becher. How are you doing, Amit? And thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you very much, Ben, for inviting me.
Let's go into business, or actually into plea bargains. And there is a huge storm in Israel since the publication that Attorney General Mandelblit and Benjamin Netanyahu are negotiating a plea deal. Right now, it's frozen. No one knows if it will happen. But I want to ask you first, let's get down and ask. Attorney General Mandelblit leaves office exactly 1 week from now. Is there still time to sign a deal with Netanyahu if, by some miracle, Netanyahu agrees to the state's conditions? In your opinion, you've been there.
I understand your skepticism, Ben, but I think it roots more from your character analysis of Netanyahu and the way he is perceived to make political decisions or political negotiations throughout the years. But from a clean professional legal standpoint, Netanyahu agreeing to state's conditions, at least those that are reported of, is not a miracle. It's merely because those conditions favor him in many ways. And I guess that he will talk about it. I think we'll talk about it further on in this conversation. But for the question about the time limit, a week is enough time, and even less than that. And the simple answer is that it will be enough, because the conditions, if they are agreed upon, the technical work that is left for the attorneys and the defense lawyers is not very high. It's not a complex agreement after it's agreed. In the broader sentence answer, I think it's more complicated. A, because you have to calculate in the personality of Netanyahu, like any defendant, and that really needs to finish a deal and to really agree in the deepest sense of the word agreement. And B, because even if after they agree on the principles, the details, it really depends on the initial agreement. If things are not agreed upon in the beginning, there might be a lot of argument or disagreements around the wording of the facts that Netanyahu is required to admit in the plea agreement. And in order to settle the matter, it might take more time.
So actually, if I'll summarize your question, the first answer is yes. If yes, we can, let's say. Mm-hmm. If Netanyahu agrees to the conditions, it can be done. But correct me if I'm wrong, in the second answer, you said that there are many details. And this is actually was supposed to be my follow-up question, because let's say Netanyahu is going to the prosecution and says, yes, I agree to admit in two felonies of whatever, and the sentence will be 7 months of prison, that I will work for society instead. And but then you have to fix the indictments, and the prosecution will want to leave in it as many as the paragraph as possible, and Netanyahu will want to get out as many as indictments. So do you think there is still time, 1 week, to do all this? But actually you answered it. Knowing Netanyahu and his way of negotiation, it's a very close call.
Yes, but you know that the negotiations around the plea agreement and the criminal legal situation is very different from daily political or state matters that he is used to have negotiated in the past. And so that first of all, that's why he has lawyers, but you know that we know that these kinds of clients like Netanyahu and people like him that come from very high status. They used to being managers and to make the calls all their lives. Sometimes it can be harder for them to work with the lawyers and listening to them, and they want the final decision to be their own. This might cause a problem if we want to get a deal in the next week.
Yes, it's very interesting because he used to be prime minister. He used to control the pace and the tempo and the conditions of all the negotiations he orchestrated in the past. And suddenly he's the defendant and actually he's fighting for his freedom, not for any diplomatic agreement. Let's try to analyze attorney Amit Becher, the motivations of both sides to reach a plea bargain instead of completing the trial and waiting for the verdict. What do you think made Mandelblit agree and go for it, or at least try to go for it?
Well, you have articulated the question very well, because the request for a deal came from Netanyahu to Mandelblit and not the other way around. For us who practice complicated criminal procedures in Israel, it's not a shock, and it's even not the news, except for the fact that there are negotiations, because it's always the case when we're talking about trials that are already in process, it's always the case that the initiative comes from the defendant. This is why the question is correct. Now, to the what caused Mandelblit to agree, I'm not sure it's known yet, but I believe it comes from two rationales. First, the toll that this trial takes on the Israeli society is very, very heavy. Now, many people, including myself, believe that Netanyahu himself has a lot to do with it. And I'm not talking about the action that led to the indictment, but I'm talking about the action that followed the indictment, and more actually the action that followed the whole procedure, beginning from the investigations and through the long time of the case was at the table of the state attorney, and after, of course, the indictment itself. Now, I want to make myself very clear. Every defendant has a right to defend himself and to say anything, to clear his name, whether it's in court or in the public arena. But what Netanyahu did, unfortunately, was not only that he claimed that the state attorneys are completely wrong, or that they deny the wrongful acts, or even say that, look, they don't know anything what they're doing. That's, of course, totally fine. But Netanyahu said much more. He said he accused time and time again the chief of police, the leading attorneys, the attorney general himself, and actually the whole illegal system, and accused them of queuing and conspiring. And he used those words exactly in Hebrew, along with his political rivals, in specific aim to throw him out of power and make a political coup. Now he didn't even stop there. He added that their motivations was not Netanyahu himself, but the whole political right group or the conservative group, whatever, however you look at that. Now, unfortunately, those false attacks did not just come from any political leader. They came from a prime minister, and it gained many, many supporters along the way. He has a growing hold of vast portions in the mainstream media in Israel, and a very strong functioning political mechanism that echoes his narrative in the social media. Now, all of that gradually, but constantly, drove many people in Israel to disbelieve in the legal system in general. And this trend is a real threat to the very basis of Israeli democracy system. Now, I said all that because I think that the Attorney General trying to stop this trend, this is one of his motivations. And the motivations in actually agreeing to the request that came from Netanyahu. Now, one can say, well, if Netanyahu caused those problems or this public hazard, why give him why let him enjoy the fruits of his hazards?
Why give him a prize?
Exactly. And it's a fair argument. But annoying Mandelblit, I think that he doesn't seek at this moment to punish Netanyahu for his political or public hazard that he caused. Rather, he thinks of himself as a leader, and what he thinks is best for the country and what the future of the democracy. And Netanyahu, if he agrees to a deal, a fair deal in which Netanyahu admits to committing two offenses in the corruption range, taking responsibility, paying a large fine, being sentenced to several months in jail, although it will be converted to community service, but it's anyway, it's considered jail time. And I think that Mandelblit believes that that serves the interest.
I want to ask you if don't you think that besides this, whatever you just explained about the motivation of Mandelblit, actually, in my words, to get rid of Netanyahu and his influence and the damage that he's causing to the whole Israeli establishment and the democracy, there is also a personal motivation, because if he leaves office in a week, and then he will live in a very tense situation where he will expect and wait for the verdict for 3 or 4 years, and then the side that will lose will probably appeal. And before he knows, because, you know, if Netanyahu will be found not guilty in all the accusations, this will be a very black and bad day for Mandelblit. So he wants to finish the job with a clean table. Do you think I have a point?
You do have a point. And indeed, you know, the legal, when we think of the law as something very high, it always involves actual people and with actual human motivations. That always has to come into the equation. Now, to build on this point, I think that from the general attorney general perspective, in a professional way, not the way that he thinks of his legacy, In there is another point that in this case, in like many other complex white case cases or economical criminal cases, the dispute between the prosecution and the defense is less over the facts and more over questions of law. And in this case, Netanyahu is currently charged. Now he's charged with bribery, which in many, which maybe is the most severe corruption charge. They're talking about dropping bribery, and Netanyahu will admit to a less severe charge of fraud and breach of trust. That's the professional name. Now this change does not require dramatic changes in the facts. So there is no statement on the state behalf that the allegations against Netanyahu were false. On the contrary, Netanyahu will admit in two of felonies. Should put to end the public quest of the legal system trying to throw Netanyahu out of power. Now, I'm not sure that this will be the outcome, stopping this movement, but that's the logic. I think that's one of the logic of the deal.
You know exactly like I know that Netanyahu, most of Netanyahu supporters will see such a deal as the greatest victory since the establishment of Earth, because they will say, listen, you kicked him out of office because of the bribery. The bribery was the flagship of the whole case. Of course, it's wrong. It's not true. But this is what they'll say. And I want to move with you, because we are far behind. It's so interesting to try and analyze the other side, Netanyahu's side. On the first place, what do you think made him enter into negotiations? He initiated them back in 2019, secretly, then in 2020, and now 2022, the final approach. And his lawyers are recommending that he will go for it. They call the deal as a dream come true. And we also know that his veteran and highly regarded attorney, the late Jacob Weinworth, also advised him to opt for a deal even before he was indicted. What do you think is the narrative and the motivation to run for a deal almost in all costs? Why? Because he fears that he's going to jail?
Well, Probably yes. I think I was. For me, there was no question that the legal team of Netanyahu tells him different things that we hear from his than what we hear from his political environment, spokers, family, and so on. The narrative of case collapsing or to begin with nothing will happen or nothing because nothing happened, so on. It was a political narrative that he took out very, very in a crafted way, but it didn't meet the truth in the legal world. And his lawyers are very, very, very experienced and well-known and very good ones. And now I believe that they project to him his true situation. When no one knows how you get out of a trial, and different from what we hear in the past months, again, from his pokers or his supporters, or political supporters, that the case is not holding, the truth is never like that. And the case, I don't know if it holds how strong it is, but it's definitely not collapsing. And person looking at those charges, even if he's acquitted of bribery, and then he looks at the other, as I said, less severe, but still a corruption arena oriented offense of breach of trust and the fraud of that they, he's looking at maybe 1 or 2 years of jail. And this is after he's going for trial, let's say, to litigate this case out for another 5 or 6 years. I'm not talking about the costs here. So he will get a more severe outcome in 7 years or 6 years or 5 years to come. I believe that his lawyers tell him, if you get a better deal now, that's a dream. That is why he's motivated to go to do this, and probably done that for 2 years now because nothing changed really.
And he's 72 years old. He's not getting any younger, of course. And I want to ask you, as a guy that's been there, and you've been through all these trials, even very interesting and scandalous trials. Try to explain me the thinking of a defendant in a case like this. What do you see is that toughest stage on a defendant's way to a plea deal, as we call it, to cross the Rubicon? What makes him crossing the Rubicon, and do you think Netanyahu crossed that milestone? And is it a different story in each case? Maybe it's dependent on the personality, the psychology of the guy. And Netanyahu is very interesting client in this matter.
No, you're totally, totally right. It's really the most important thing to look at is the personality of the defendants. Every person is a person by himself. It's a very, very awkward and strange situation for these people. And even if they are business leaders or political leaders, definitely if you are a prime minister, which is maybe the highest, most powerful position in Israel, some say most complex job in the world.
Yeah,
but not only him. Many people in these situations may believe that they are right, because the arguments here, I said at the beginning, are not always about the facts, are more about the law or the interpretation of the fact. And we know politicians tend to tell themselves a narrative that they believe in, that they are that they do things for the country. And so you know, there is a very nice work by that say why politicians lie. And they believe that they're doing for a just cause. And so I'm saying that people here have to take a decision to cross and to admit a criminal felony, in this case two, and in probably in a severe circumstance. That's what the state attorney demands, a large portions of money involved. And so it's always, always, always difficult for these people to take the decision. I've seen people that I know that they have been advised to get deals and said, no, I'm going all the way. And they pay dearly. Some get acquitted because there is no 100%. The courts in Israel are really, really independent. And they might think that the prosecution sees things wrong. Of course, none is related to the false accusations that they do, that they want to do something in purpose just to get political goals. That's, of course, not acceptable. But it is sometimes there is a chance that the court sees the way in a different way than the prosecution. That's the chance that each side has to take. And in this sense, even if Netanyahu admits, he takes some chance because he gives up on the chance to be acquitted. But if he runs, as you said, and this is something that I leave from the reports, yes, if he truly seeks the agreement, it means only one thing, that he believes that there is a big, big chance that eventually he will be found guilty at least some of the charges.
And the price will be too high. Yeah. By the way, you're not
very high.
Yes, you're not dealing with it, but Netanyahu is not taking this decision alone. There is the Netanyahu family, there is the wife and the son, and there, I think if I hear between the two of us, I'm the guy that can try and understand what is going on in Netanyahu's brain. It is a lot more difficult for him than for the average defendant, because he was a prime minister. He's still very popular. He holds 30 mandates in the Knesset and 33 or 34 in the polls. So to write all these off and start totally different new life without politics, at least for 8 years, it's very, very difficult. And I want to ask you, if do you think signing this deal in the conditions we know is a win-win situation for both sides?
No, it's not a win-win for any. It could be a good situation for the state, unless I'm afraid to say that we both suspect that Netanyahu's supporters, maybe him on the backstage, I don't know, would continue claiming and making the substantial claims against the legitimacy of the legal system. Other than that, it would be a good situation for the Israeli nation to put this saga away. For Netanyahu, it's not such. Of course, it's not a win-win. But there is another side, even for his family, because you know that what is his option? If he continues the litigation, he is obliged to continue in politics, but not in leadership position, meaning he will not be prime minister until the trial is over. I think that's the political analysis. It's not a legal analysis. On the other hand, if he signs the deal, he is free to walk, to make money in the way it will be legitimate. And he's a crafted person. He can, and you know, it is. So I don't know for him, for his family, I don't know exactly where it is. And there are positive sides for him to make this deal. And let's meet again in politics in 7 years, because in the other way of litigation, he's still not getting to prime minister in the next years that we can see. But that's more the political analysis, joining with a legal, with a legal thought.
But the difference, attorney Amit Becher, the difference is here is simple. If he goes on with trial, he still can hope that politically something will happen and he will be able to uproot this current government and to win an election. He can do everything.
You're totally right. This so, is why you're so right.
And just he keeps the dream alive. This is the one thing that I think holds him right now, that the dream is still alive. He can win an election. He can always do it, although he tried 4 times and did not, but God knows. And if he goes for the bargain, it's over at least for a decade. So for 10 years or 8. So this is the dilemma, and it's not simple. I want to ask you, We are out of time, but I will not let you go without asking you if you think that the public's trust in the state's law enforcement and legal institutions can be rebuilt once the Netanyahu saga ends. And in order to achieve such a goal, what would be better, a deal or a final verdict?
So the answer is complicated. First of all, I'm sure that it can be rebuilt, but I'm not sure that we know what's best, because the political saga is not going to go away, whether we're going to make a deal or whether we're going to continue with the process. It really is up to the leaders, actually. And it's never on the shoulders of the legal system itself. We can have the best judges and the best attorney general and everything. But if the legal, if the political leaders will not take this as a national mission, the mistrust of those portions that went after Netanyahu, after his claims, could continue. And in this sense, it really does not matter. It doesn't matter what the legal system, well, the legal process, how it will end. It's more important how the leaders will act. It's always the sense in leadership, actually.
So let's hope, at least in this field, we will see something else. Maybe we already see it. I have to admit, in all the paragraphs of my sentence and the indictment, because it was a very interesting conversation, and I want to thank you very much, Attorney Amit Becher, for joining us here in on Israel in Al Monitor. Toda rabba, Amit.
It was a pleasure. Toda.
We will go for a short break and come back right after this with some final thoughts. Be with us.
Hello, I'm Gilles Kepel, professor at Sciences Po and Normal Sup in Paris, and author of a number of books and articles on the Middle East. Through my new podcast, Reading the Middle East, on the award-winning media service and monitor, we will take a deep dive into the trends in the region with the authors and thought leaders who are shaping how we think about the Middle East. Reading the Middle East will be a fantastic addition to Al Monitor's outstanding podcast lineup, including On the Middle East with Andrew Parazziliti and Amber Inzamam, and On Israel with Ben Kaspit. You can subscribe on your favorite listening platforms. We look forward to your joining our conversation.
Thank you for staying with us. Attorney Amit Becher thinks that we still have time to complete the negotiation to reach a plea deal or a plea bargain between ex-Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit. But as he said, the devil lies and waits in the details. There are a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do. And only 1 week left to the term of this Attorney General. If Benjamin Netanyahu would come tomorrow and say, okay, I agree to the terms and conditions of the state to plead guilty in two felonies of breach of trust and fraud, and to be punished with 7 to 9 months in jail that will be commuted in community service, to pay a fine and not to return to political life for 7 years, it is possible. The question is, if Netanyahu is already there, did he cross the Rubicon? And Amit Becher, as myself, is not sure about it. By the way, if it doesn't, it will happen in the next months or years, because we have now 5 years, at least 5 years of trial, and after this, the appeal. And maybe for Netanyahu, it's better to cut the losses now and try to find himself a nice exit. When I asked Attorney Becher about the situation, the legal situation between the sides, he said that Netanyahu is the side that is more, for Netanyahu, it's more important to reach this deal. And the fact is that that he initiated the negotiations three times in 2019, 2020, and now 2022. And if we're talking about the Attorney General, so if he's in such a good condition, why is he negotiating with Netanyahu? Amit Becher said that Mandelblit is looking on the macro situation, the big picture, and he knows that this trial and the Netanyahu supporters, he still holds a lot of supporters, 30 mandates in the Knesset and 33 in the polls. And all this bleeding wound inside the Israeli society is still there, and it is tearing apart the Israeli society. And it's better also for the even for the system of law and order in Israel to cut the losses as well, and put an end to this story and secure the fact that Netanyahu is not coming back, because he, Mandelblit, thinks as well that Netanyahu is a threat on Israeli democracy. I think that this story, this sage is only in the beginning, and Netanyahu is not taking these decisions by himself. He's surrounded in family. He's not free to decide by himself, and this is news as well. And we will hear about it and about the negotiation and about the trial for a long time now, and I hope you found it interesting. And we will meet here next week in the same place, the same time, on Israel in Al Monitor. I'm Ben Kaspit from Tel Aviv. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.